Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a looming showdown between White House Chief of Staff Kelly and the President's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who is resisting giving up his access to the nation's top secrets, which, although he does not have a permanent security clearance, Kushner is the biggest consumer of in terms of top secret information, much of which could be highly profitable to private business interests. Jeff Stein, who covers spy agencies and foreign policy for Newsweek and wrote the Spy Talk column for the Congressional Quarterly, joins us to discuss how vulnerable the Trump White House is to foreign spies, with 130 staffers with access to top secrets unable to get security clearances. We will also speculate on why the intelligence community does not want to give Kushner a security clearance and why he is getting his hands on so much vital intelligence as possible, even though he has not qualified for a permanent security clearance. Then we'll investigate what could be the most amazing power play and greatest coup by the Koch brothers, who are poised to rewrite the entire U.S. Constitution according to their policy preferences and ideological whims and wishes. Joining us is Lisa Graves, the co-director of Documented, a new investigative website at documentedinvestigations.org, who served in all three branches of the federal government as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Justice Department, as Chief Counsel for Nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as a Deputy Chief for the U.S. Courts. We will discuss how the entire U.S. Constitution could be up for grabs if the Koch-funded effort to bring about a constitutional convention via the ratification of 34 states is successful. Then finally, we'll continue to explore the possibility that the laws of the land and the very foundation of American democracy are about to be rewritten by the Koch brothers, who already have 28 of the 34 states needed to convene a constitutional convention in their pocket. So it would seem that the billionaire right-wing donors are well on their way to pulling off the ultimate coup. Alex Koch, an investigative journalist focusing on money in politics, who was until recently part of the Political Capital Investigative Unit at the International Business Times, joins us to discuss his article at the Center for Media and Democracy, Koch's Bankroll Move to Rewrite the Constitution. And joining us now is Jeff Stein, who covers the spy agencies and foreign policy for Newsweek in Washington. His Spy Talk column originated in 2005 at the Congressional Quarterly, where he was Homeland Security Editor, and he moved to the Washington Post in 2010. An Army Intelligence Case Officer in Vietnam, Jeff is also the author of three books, including A Murder in Wartime, about the 1969 prosecution of top Green Beret officers for the execution of a suspected enemy spy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeff Stein.
Thank you.
And what do you make of the resistance that Jared Kushner is displaying? Apparently, the White House Chief of Staff, General Kelly, is trying to rein in the apparently loose operations at the White House in terms of handling of the most top-secret documents. In fact, the nation's top secrets. Obviously, they passed through the hands of Rob Portman, and that concerned a lot of people because he had a temporary pass and could possibly have been blackmailed as a wife beater. But Jared Kushner apparently is the biggest consumer of top secret intelligence, and he doesn't want to give up, or he's resisting the idea that because he can't get a permanent clearance, he's going to lose his clearance. So do we have any idea of what's behind that? Why the intelligence community does not want to give him a clearance?
Well, at first glance, it would seem like this is a battle between Godzilla and King Kong, but they were nicer and more transparent than the key actors in the White House. First of all, the president could solve this problem in a heartbeat, either by granting Jared Kushner a clearance by executive fiat, which would raise a lot of objections. There'd be a lot of howling about that. Or the president could say, sorry, you're not going to get a clearance. That's the choice for the president. It's not going to be up to Mr. Kelly, who has shown an increasing tendency to bend to the president's needs over conducting the office of the chief of staff with neutrality and probity, with his main client being the people of the United States. So we're going to have this situation continue until The president makes a decision. That's who's going to make the decision.
But the fact that something like 130 of these top White House employees don't have a permanent intelligence clearance, and I think that's a pretty high ratio. I think there's only about 600 employees, is there not, in the executive branch? I'm not sure the numbers, but it's an awfully high ratio of people, 130. And is it completely off the wall to suggest, for example, that given what we've learned from the recent Mueller indictment about how much the Russians have penetrated social media and how active their information manipulation campaign was during the elections, isn't it conceivable that they could be also targeting the White House for intelligence leaks?
Well, of course. I mean, the Russians have been targeting the White House for leaks and recruitments going back to the Soviet Union. This is, and we target the Russians for recruitment and penetration. This is what intelligence agencies do. So, of course, the Russians or anyone else with a major intelligence service like the Chinese would be looking for targets of opportunity. And you know, remember that the Office of Personnel Management files of federal employees, tens of thousands, were hacked a couple of years ago. So that, you know, our adversaries have access to lots of personal information about federal employees. And you add to that an administration which is riven with conflicts of interest. So putting aside what sexual misconduct may have occurred or allegations of domestic abuse and so on. So you've got really, from a security standpoint, kind of a nightmare here. And let's not forget that the president of the United States has virtually refused to accept the idea of Russian penetration and that the Russians helped put him into office, and that he has not ordered up a comprehensive plan for defending the nation against Russian intrusion or to combat, to take more aggressive measures against the Russians that would cause them to stop doing what they're doing in the cyberspace. So this is just another chapter in what I call the new abnormal. Lots of unprecedented things going on in this administration. And by law or by statute and rule, these clearances, these interim clearances, are supposed to run out in a year. That puts a lot of these people in jeopardy, and it places a quandary in front of the chief of staff, Mr. Kelly. If he begins to act on the revocation of these interim clearances, that's going to put him smack up against the president's son-in-law and daughter. It's been widely reported that Mr. Kushner has been opaque about his business dealings and his efforts to sell his property at 666 Fifth Avenue. He's approached Chinese and other foreign investors to take that off his hands. Ivanka Trump is robustly continuing her private business around the world. The Chinese have afforded her some favors, as have the Indians. We've got Donald Jr. hyping his business, Trump business in India, while giving policy speeches. In an ordinary administration, this kind of behavior just would be prohibited. But we're not dealing with an ordinary administration. So there's not only a security overlay problem here, but an internal political struggle between the Trump family and security professionals such as General Kelly and others, General McMaster and others, who are alarmed about the access that uncleared individuals are getting to top secret intelligence.
And again, I'm speaking with Jeff Stein, who covers the spy agencies and foreign policy at For Newsweek in Washington, D.C. His Spy Talk column originated in 2005 at the Congressional Quarterly, where he was Homeland Security Editor, and he moved to the Washington Post in 2010. And he served as an Army Intelligence Case Officer in Vietnam and is the author of three books, including A Murder in Wartime, about the 1969 prosecution of top Green Beret officers for the execution of a suspected enemy spy. So just to zero in, though, on Kushner himself, given all the portfolios he had, the fact that he apparently is the biggest consumer of top-secret intelligence and reads the presidential daily brief, which apparently Donald Trump is not interested in reading or not able, you know, apparently he likes things down to about a page or to see them on television as opposed to have to read them. So that's very strange. On the one hand, you can't get a permanent clearance, and there has to be a reason for that. And on the other hand, he has access to the top secret stuff, the most secret stuff, and apparently he's resisting giving up that access. So we don't know why the intelligence community won't give him a clearance, but what we've learned so far is the White House Office of Security has said that his paperwork has been about the worst and most deficient that they've seen in the longest time. He apparently was interviewed by the head of the FBI, head of counterintelligence, who warned him about his and Ivanka's relationship with Wendy Deng, the ex-wife of Rupert Murdoch, who Murdoch accuses of being a Chinese spy. And, of course, she had an affair with Tony Blair that broke up her marriage with Murdoch. So he's obviously a little bitter about that. But that's been raised. Do you have any inkling? I mean, the fact that Kushner has such a close relationship with the Israelis, is that a flag? I know some time back when we last spoke, you had done an article about Israel's spying on the U.S., which my understanding is that Israeli spying on the U.S. is one of the most aggressive of foreign countries. And of course, Israel is something of an ally. So I'm throwing out some possibilities here. Has anything crossed your radar that would explain why the intelligence community doesn't want to give Jared Kushner a complete intelligence clearance?
Well, he's a walking security nightmare. I mean, in an ordinary administration, this guy just would not get a job. I mean, he would not be cleared. He would not be in a position, certainly, where he's reading the president's daily brief, which the president doesn't read, but Kushner, by all accounts, is avidly reading the president's daily intelligence brief from the CIA and the National Intelligence Director. And he's also reportedly making lots of inquiries from after he reads this brief to intelligence officials. So, you know, this is just highly unusual, to say the least. I suspect, from my conversations in the intelligence community, that the intelligence professionals at CIA in particular are lobbying Mike Pompeo, the CIA director, vociferously to keep that brief as narrow as possible and certainly not deliver the family jewels to the president and thus to Jared Kushner about CIA assets in high places in the world. And perhaps even significant internal political developments in China and Russia and India, Pakistan and so on, because the Kushners and the Trumps have such interlocking business interests around the world that this could be very valuable information for them to act on in service of their businesses. So the battle is going to come to a climax soon, because this is a boil about to burst. The situation cannot continue. Jared Kushner has made it very clear that he and Ivanka, his wife, think that Kelly is using this security clearance issue to box them out of the White House. And I would bet a lot of money that if Kelly takes on Kushner and Ivanka, he's going to lose. And then Trump faces a dilemma that Kelly would leave the White House with lots of secrets and knowledge about how the president runs the White House. And then there would be the difficulty of getting anyone else to replace Kelly. So here we just have another turn of the wheel, another chapter of chaos inside the White House, where lots of questions, at the same time, lots of questions are being raised about the basic loyalty of the president to the United States toward Russia, which may hold lots of investments in Trump. The suspicion is that, as Don Jr. Himself said a few years ago, that the Russians floated the Trump empire when he couldn't get loans elsewhere because of his bankruptcies and the collapse of his Atlantic City business. And so we... This is stuff out of a spy novel. You know, this is Manchurian Candidate territory. It's unprecedented, and we don't know how this is going to turn out, but someone's going to win and someone's going to lose in this struggle in the White House over the security clearances. They both can't win. Jared Kushner and Kelly cannot both emerge as winners here.
And we have, of course, the Steve Bannon taking on Kushner and losing. But back to the issue that you brought up about a possible conflict of interest in terms of business, my understanding is that, and I recall this when Ronald Reagan chose Bill Casey as his director of Central Intelligence, Casey things were held up for a while in terms of his confirmation because he wouldn't put all of his holdings into a blind trust or resisted it. And he was a Wall Street banker and lawyer. And at the time, I recall, the questions were that it's not kosher for a director of Central Intelligence who may want to play the market, having access to the best secrets in the world from which he could get incredibly rich. That is a reality, isn't it, Jeff?
Sure. Absolutely. That's the obvious reality, that you have... Well, it's not just Kushner, it's Trump as well. Trump has not divested himself. He's stepped back from the act. He says he stepped back from the active management of his companies, but anyone who's observed him closely over the past couple of years would say that that's laughable that he would step away from the management of his companies. He may leave the day-to-day or minute-by-minute decisions to his sons, daughter, but, you know, this is a guy who demonstrably does not understand the limits of his behavior while being a federal officer, to wit, the president of the United States. He has shown again and again that he doesn't understand conflicts of interest. He's talked openly about his FBI, his Justice Department, and complain that his officials are not doing what he wants them to do in terms of the Russian investigation. So we shouldn't be surprised that there is a commingling of insider intelligence information and the Trump and Kushner business interests, and Ivanka business interests for that matter.
Just in closing, though, Jeff, what do you make of this extraordinary meeting that took place recently with Pompeo and Dan Coats and the heads of Russia's three intelligence agencies, the GRU, military intelligence, SVR, foreign intelligence, and FSB, domestic intelligence? All three of those heads of those agencies in Russia are sanctioned, yet they were able to come to Washington, have this private meeting, and things have changed. There's something going on. For example, the character that is called Putin's cook, Prigozhin, he also was organized this mercenary army that just got slaughtered by the U.S. in Syria, and it's hard to believe that the Russians didn't hang them out to dry since they gave them no air cover and sent them on a suicide mission. Is it possible that something's going on there? A deal is being struck between Putin and Trump. Prigozhin is being essentially sacrificed by Putin because of the Mueller indictment, in the sense that Putin will say, as he's always said, oh, you know, this wasn't an official Russian operation meddling with the American election. You know, a few patriotic Russians did this on their own. So do you think that they may be scapegoating Prigozhin to put this whole thing behind them? Is that a possibility?
That's a pretty convoluted question. I don't know what's going on inside the Kremlin. But I will say that Pompeo's explanation for meeting with Russian intelligence, that it was innocent and kind of normal business between the CIA and the FSB on counterterrorism issues, smacks to me of the same excuse that was given for the meeting that Kushner et al. Had with Russian emissaries during the campaign, and they said they just discussed adoptions. You've just got to suspect that there was more on the table in that meeting between Pompeo and the FSB chief that had to do with wider U.S.-Russian relations, which there would be nothing wrong with that, except that the FSB is a major player in the continuing assaults, interference in American politics by the Russians. We should probably not be meeting with the Russians at all, and certainly not at the high level of the chiefs. The legal attaché, the U.S. legal attaché, the FBI agent in Moscow, is perfectly capable of meeting with his counterpart, his Russian counterpart, to discuss counterterrorism issues. So you just have to, you know, red flags go up when you see Mike Pompeo, who is a confidant of the president by all accounts, and shares his political or ideological, I don't know if I can dress it up that much, but his political leanings. He was a Tea Party Republican while he was in Congress, and very much part of the assault on Hillary Clinton over the Benghazi issue and so on. So you have to think that there's more in play here than mere counterterrorism discussions. It's just, and it looked bad. I mean, it just, you know, you just have to wonder what's going on with this administration. Are they Russian dupes? Are they Russian assets? This is a horrible situation we've got here. I'm very, very worried about the direction and safety of the country.
Well, Jeff Stein, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And again, I've been speaking with Jeff Stein, who covers the spy agencies and foreign policy for Newsweek in Washington, D.C. His Spy Talk column originated in 2005 at the Congressional Quarterly, where he was Homeland Security Editor, and he moved to the Washington Post in 2010, an Army Intelligence Case Officer in Vietnam. Jeff is also the author of three books, including A Murder in Wartime, about the 1969 prosecution of top Green Beret officers for the execution of a suspected enemy spy. We're going to take a brief station break and back examining what could be the most amazing power play and greatest coup by the Koch brothers, who are poised to rewrite the entire U.S. Constitution.